All right, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10. I don't know what your faith journey looked like or looks like. We all have different faith journeys, but who's thankful that the captain of that faith journey is the same for you as it is for me? It's Jesus, right? And so, you know, I've told you before, I got saved when I was a teenager. Thank God. As I reflect back, when I was a teenager, I thought it was all on me, that it was good things are happening to me because of me. But no, looking back, it was the grace of God upon my life. And the more I reflect back, I'm astounded at how God's grace was at work in my life. But anyway, so, you know, when I got saved and I started meeting all these new people, who agrees with me that you should have new friends after you get saved? Better friends, godly friends, Christian friends, right? That are influencing you to do the right thing and not the wrong thing. But it was amazing to me. You know, I as a little Catholic boy, I didn't really get into Catholicism. And I went because my parents made me go. I went to confession simply because I thought, well, I'm sure I've really angered the Lord, and so I want to appease that anger by confessing my sins to the priest and clean my slate so I can go party it up. You know, I remember at 1 o'clock, we're confessionals in El Paso, Texas, Holy Family Church, and I would go to confessionals, and once I walked out of confessionals, my uncle was waiting for me there outside of the church, and I said, let's go to Juarez, let's go across the border to Mexico, and let's go party it up. And that's what we would do. You know, I thought, well, the Lord understands I need to sow my wild oats. That was my unfortunately, that was my understanding. But I got saved, and it seemed like I stuck my head into a popcorn popper. It was so much activity, and all of these new friends that I had. Have you heard of R.W. Schambach? Did you hear of R.W. Schambach? Of course. Shout amen, somebody, right? And that guy flowed in the power of God. He was something else, and people said, if you haven't listened to R.W. Schambach, you got to listen to R.W. Schambach. And then they said, have you listened to Keith Green? No, who's Keith Green? Oh my gosh, you're missing out, but Brother Joe, you got to listen to Keith Green. And I listened to his music. It was amazing. And then as I went from my exposure of Christianity in El Paso to Tulsa, where you had Christians from all over the world, then it was, have you listened to Twyla Paris? Who's Twyla Paris? She used to be the main worship leader of the Body of Christ back in the 80s, wasn't she? Who remembers? Do you remember Twyla Paris? Yes. Anyway, so all you're introduced at a very fast pace to all of these people, all of these concepts. You know, people said, do you know where the armor of God? Well, I didn't know what the armor of God was. What is the armor of God? So they would teach me, you got to know the armor of God. Okay. So, but then you start looking at the different schools of thought in Christendom. And that was fun. All right. How many of us agree that we're all working our own salvation with fear and trembling? Right. And as I'm trying to work my own salvation with fear and trembling, then all of a sudden I'm presented with different options of belief. And one of them that really, really bothered me was the thought that I would not make it to heaven. Please understand, church family, that since I was an infant going to Catholic church, I was steeped with a belief that one never knows if they're going to go to heaven or not until they die. And I thought, well, why even try? Because I remember I was taught that you can give your best effort for Jesus and still die and not make the grade. Who agrees with me that that is a horrible way to live? That is not living with any assurance of salvation. Zero. And that's what I was taught. And then I go into Christianity and more of the same. You know, well, Brother Joe, you can lose your salvation. Okay, well, can I really? And I would ask, you know, I was just curious because I wanted to know. I have that kind of mind. I'm curious. So how can you lose your salvation? well, there's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's this other, and there's that other. And it always, they presented me something very vague, nothing concrete. And for the longest time, for the first 2 decades, I would say, of my Christian experience, I believed that a person could lose their salvation. I never applied it to my life. I thought, I'll never lose my salvation, but you certainly can. Well, who agrees with me? That's not fair. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? And so, anyway, so I begin to do an in-depth study in Scripture on this subject. What I mean by that, I hit the Word of God. I read books on this. And, you know, at Oral Roberts University, they facilitated you with all kinds of resources on the subject. And I want to pass on some of my findings to you. Having said that, let's look at John chapter 10. Let's keep it simple at the very beginning. Well, it'll be a simple, simple lesson. But let's look at, just let's look first and foremost, who agrees with me that Jesus' words are of utmost authority, right? So let's look at what Jesus has to say on this subject. All right, verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Notice verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word? They will never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He says three different statements, very powerful, each in their own right. Number one, I give them what kind of life? Okay, so let me ask you a question. If you can lose your salvation, is it really eternal life? No. If you can lose your salvation, then you only have eternal life until the time you cross that, whatever it is, that vague boundary that no longer allows you to go to heaven. Right? But he gives us what kind of life? Eternal life. Notice the next statement. He says, and they shall never perish. If you're jotting, if you're a note taker, you've got to take this down. Never, in the Greek, is considered the emphatic negation. In other words, that is the strongest way in any language to say no. So this is the way that never should read if we translate it properly. Never, no, not ever. Who said that? You're well taught. No, not ever, not now, or forever. That's the way the Greek reads. So let's read it with these words in mind. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never, no, not ever, not now, or forever perish. Is that pretty clear, church family? Listen, maybe next Sunday we can look at all the troublesome scriptures that bring questions up to us. Because I'll gladly address those in their proper context. Who agrees with me that we can take any scripture out of context and try to make it say something that it was not originally intended to say? Right? So maybe we'll look at that next Sunday evening. But let's first look at the words of Jesus. I give them eternal life. They shall never, no, not ever, not now or forever, perish. All right? Notice the last one. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Okay? Let's deal first with the words of Jesus. Who can snatch us out of his hand? No one can snatch us out of his hand. And I've always, when I've quoted this verse to other believers that don't believe in eternal security, they always come back with, well, I can choose to jump out of the hand. No. If you're truly saved, you will not have any desire to jump out of the master's hand. Right? right? Let's go to 1 John. Hold your finger here in John 10. We're not done here. 1 John chapter 3, please. Who would like to read verse 9 of 1 John chapter 3, please?
Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God.
Okay. Notice where this, some of our translations read, does not sin. That means does not sin habitually, does not sin continually, does not sin as a practice. Habitually, continually, and as a practice. It is the present active indicative tense. Okay? So if we are truly born of God, we will not sin habitually. We will not continue or have a desire to continue to sin with the same particular sin over and over and over and over until we die. Who agrees with me that some of the most miserable Christians on planet Earth are those who are living in compromise? Because the insides of their heart is convicting them. John says in chapter 4 that our hearts will condemn us if we're doing the wrong thing. Right? So if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we cannot live in sin and live comfortably with sin. There's always gnawing at our conscience. We're living in sin. We know that we are doing wrong, right? All right. So notice, we cannot sin habitually, continually, because we have been born of God. Go back with me to John chapter 10. Jesus said, no one will snatch them from whose hand? His hand. Okay, let's read on. Verse 29. My Father who has given them, the sheep, to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of whose hand? My Father's hand. Okay, so are we in the hands of Jesus? Yes or no? Are we in the hands of the Father? Okay, so look at it this way. I'm in the hands of Jesus. Let's say my left hand here is the hand of Jesus. Let's say my right hand here is the hand of the Father. Look at how well protected I am. I'm not only resting in my salvation in the hand of Jesus, I'm also resting in my salvation in the hand of the Father, who is greater than all, right? Who is over the hand of Jesus. How secure is that, church family? Pretty secure, isn't it? Do I need to worry about losing my salvation? Nope. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's go then to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So far, so good, everybody? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now let's look at God's keeping power. Okay. Who would like to read verses 7 and 8, preferably out of the New International Version, please? Yes, sir. Do we believe that promise? Do we believe that promise? See, I was taught for the longest time that I kept myself. By my own strength, I kept myself. Who agrees with me that my strength does not amount to a hill of beans with a Christian life? If I could swing it with my strength, I wouldn't need Jesus. But as Psalm 73 verse 26 says, my heart and my strength may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Amen? All right, so there's one scripture. He keeps us strong to the end. Go with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. Who would like to read verses 3 through 5, please, of chapter 1 of 1 Peter?
Any version.
Blessed
be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. Okay,
so notice what verse 4 says, that we have been saved to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. So is that inheritance protected by the power of God? Yes. But notice, something else is protected by the power of God. In heaven for you, comma, who are kept by the power of God. Who is that who referring to? Us, to you, right? We are kept by the what? Power of God through faith for salvation. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Who would like to read verse 30?
And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption.
I like that translation. Guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when we die and we go to heaven, right? But who makes that guarantee? Can another human guarantee you that? Who makes that guarantee? The Godhead, right? The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. A seal deals with our identity and deals with our security. Okay? Turn with me to the book of Jude, one book before the book of Revelation. So far, so good, everybody? If I was an attorney, am I making a good case? Some of you are unconvinced. I don't know. Bless God. I could still jump out of that hand. Well, go ahead and jump out. I'm not dumb. Jude. Book of Jude. All right. Let's look here. Who would like to read verse 24? Wow. He is able to keep us from stumbling. Who's thankful for that? He is able to keep present us, listen carefully, faultless before the Father. Hallelujah. Because when I stand before the Father, there is no other way I want to stand before him other than faultless. Because he's a holy God, right? And I can stand in the presence of the Father with exceeding joy and not the dread of judgment. Is that security? That's security. My friends, if we could get saved by our own will, then I could say, conversely, we could decide against Jesus once we're saved, but we cannot. Okay? I gave you that 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 5, verse 9. I quoted this in Sunday school class because we were talking about the prophet Amos and how God gave the threat of wrath to his people through the prophet Amos. Scott's a great Bible teacher. He did an awesome job in Sunday school class. But I also raised my hand to say, listen, you can look at all the Old Testament prophets and there will be the threat of wrath. But once you go into the new covenant, under which we all live. Amen? There is no wrath for us. Who would like to read verse 9, please, of Romans 5?
And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation.
Condemnation. There you go. We are saved from wrath through him. Who believes that? Right? You know, I've got to be honest with you. I once went to another name that was thrown around was David Wilkerson. Oh, have you heard of David Wilkerson? The Cross and the Switchblade, Nicky Cruz. No. Well, you got to read that book, and you got to hear. And apparently, he was in the El Paso Coliseum, and I'm telling you, that dude preached condemnation that night. I was not living in sin. My heart was pure before the Lord. I'm telling you what, I had a laser beam focus for Jesus, but when he was done preaching, I felt like I was unsaved all over again. I was like, I don't think that's God's will. Looking back, I say that now. At that point, I thought I was going to hell, even though I had eternal life. Is that God's will, church family? Is that any way to live with only assurance when you're doing good? But who agrees with me that this assurance works when we're having a poopy day? If you're anything like me, there are days that I have. I just want to push the reset button and say, Lord, just, God, let's do this all over again tomorrow. I'm worn thin in my patience. Right? Who understands with me? If you live life long enough, not everything is black and white. Right? And so, to make it clear that no believer is under God's wrath. Zero. That's the difference between us and backsliding Israel. There was plenty of wrath for them. There is no wrath for us. It makes perfect sense to me in my mind. If Jesus absorbed all of God's wrath for all of our sins, past, present, and future, the sins that we have not yet committed have been paid for. Come on, somebody. Then why would I still sustain God's wrath? I'm safe from God's wrath. Who would like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9? Is this an encouraging message?
Yes.
My peeps, good. 1 Thessalonians, yeah, it's right before 2 Thessalonians. I paid tens of thousands of dollars to be able to say that I've got my degree to say that. Yes. First Thessalonians 5. Thank you. Would you like to read it? Would you like to read it? Okay. Miss Normie? Verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9.
For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Is that pretty plain? Should we ever live under the threat of God's wrath for our life? No, he has not appointed us to wrath. He has appointed us to salvation. Right? Go with me to Romans chapter 8 and I'll close it, please. I'm going to close with two very beautiful scriptures. Beautiful, beautiful. All righty, verse 1. Who would like to read verse 1, please, of Romans 8? There you go. Now, if you have a King James Version or a New King James Version, it goes on to read, for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me be clear about that. That phrase does not appear in the Greek language. In the Greek language, it only reads the way Brother John Bob, quoted it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Bible translators added that extra wording. So how much condemnation is in store for God's people? Zero. Now, there is therefore now, how much condemnation for us? Zero. All right, go with me to the end of the chapter, please. Verse 35, I'll read this. passage. Very beautiful passage. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor the things present nor the things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice, at the beginning of the chapter, he says, there is no condemnation. And he finishes the chapter by saying, there is no separation. I rest my case. Are we secure in Christ? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to absorb these scriptures. May they be life-changing, Father. May they serve as great security. Lord, we sing hymns that say that we are safe and secure from all alarm as we lean on the everlasting arms of mercy, Lord. May we believe that we are truly safe and secure from all alarm. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.